This passage of Scripture that we've read together from Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, it is a portion of Scripture that I have preached the Gospel from on several occasions. And I remember preaching upon it as well when I was doing a series on the seven cries of the Lord Jesus Christ from the cross of Calvary. This portion of Scripture has often been called the conversion of the dying thief. Tonight I want to look at what I have called the dying thief in a new light. There are many who say, in regard to salvation, I'm going to be like the dying thief and wait until the 11th hour and then get saved. What those people need to remember is this, that there that day on Calvary, there were two thieves. One was saved, that none need despair, and the other was lost, that none should presume upon the mercy of God. Sinner, how do you know that this gospel service tonight is not your 11th hour? It might be the last time you will ever hear the gospel call to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now at the cross, that day when Jesus died, there were many kinds of people gathered. There was the legions of soldiers, those who mocked the Lord Jesus Christ, those who ridiculed him, who made him a pawn in their games at the place of the pavement. Not only were the soldiers present, but the Sadducees were there as well. And they were present to see this Savior who had said that he would rise again from the dead. And now he was on the cross, and they were there to see him put to death. And the scoffers were there all around the cross, mocking and deriding the Lord Jesus Christ. I will tell you who else was there about the cross that day. The servants of the Lord Jesus Christ were there. We know that the Apostle John was present because he tells us that in his own gospel in the chapter 19, that he was standing near the cross when Jesus Christ was put to death. His earthly mother Mary was there because John tells us that the Lord Jesus spoke to her from the cross, and there were other women gathered there with John and Mary that day at the cross of Calvary. The Apostle Peter was also there. We are told by himself in his first epistle in the chapter 5 and verse 1 that he was a witness to the sufferings of Christ. So we know that somewhere in that crowd around the cross that day, Peter was gazing upon the sufferings of our wonderful Lord and our wonderful Savior. Dr. Henry Valdez, when he thought of being in such a place, and he considered the cross of Calvary and the work of Christ there, he wrote these words: "In peace, let me resign my breath and thy salvation see. My sins deserve eternal death, but Jesus died for me." Beloved, that sums up for us what the gospel is all about. There was a famous lord of the realm, and he was visiting at the house of a friend of his, and he went into his study, and there was a plaque hanging over his desk in the study, and that little verse that I've just quoted was written upon it: "In peace, let me resign my breath and thy salvation see. My sins deserve eternal death, but Jesus died for me." And as he read those verses, the Spirit of God came upon him and dealt with his soul, and he was saved by the mighty grace and by the mighty power of God. A famous military general, General Taylor, said of those words, "They have given me hope." Ah, they do. Those words give us all hope. Our sins, your sins and my sins, today deserve eternal death. It is right and proper and just of God Almighty to condemn us all to hell because of our sin. And our sins deserve eternal death. But here is the message of the gospel, and here is the message that brought hope and faith and light to this dying thief. Jesus died for me. That was the answer that the great Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the famous Baptist preacher of a bygone day, gave to a friend of his when he said to Mr. Spurgeon, "Can you sum up the gospel for me in 4 words? The great Baptist preacher thought for a moment or two, and he said, "Yes, Jesus died for me." That is the gospel. That is all of the gospel. The old hymn writer says, "Jesus took my place and died for me." And this dying thief, the one who put his faith and his trust in Christ in his dying hour, in a very real way, could make these words his own. That gave him hope in his 11th hour of his life. He was literally breathing out his last when he discovered that that person hanging beside him on that middle cross was none other than the blessed Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And that gave him hope. That brought him hope. Surely this teaches us that alone one should presume on the mercy of God. None need despair. There is hope for every unconverted person in this meeting tonight. Hope for you. For Jesus Christ has died. I want you to notice with me, first of all, the hope that just now filled this man's heart. I want you to think, first of all, about the ground of his hope. You know, there is such a thing as a false hope. There is such a thing as a false hope. And Job tells us in chapter 8 and verse 13 that the hope of the hypocrite shall perish. There in Job 8, verses 13 and 14, he says, so are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish, whose hope shall be cut off, and whose trust shall be a spider's web. So we see there is a false hope, and there are many today, and they're depending on a false hope, the hope of the hypocrite. God says that his hope will perish. I wonder, what is your hope for eternity tonight? What are you trusting in? Are you trusting in the church? Trusting in the ordinances of the church? Trusting in your own self-righteousness and your good living? That will not save you, friend. That will fail you. That is a hope that will perish. That is a hope that will perish. But thank God, although there's a false hope, bless God tonight, there is a firm hope. And in Hebrews chapter 9, we're told, see Hebrews chapter 6 there, we're told in the verse 19, there is a firm hope, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, sure and steadfast, and which entereth in that within, into that within the veil. Praise God tonight. There is a firm hope, a hope that is steadfast and sure. And it is Christ, the blessed Savior of sinners. There's a firm hope, a hope that will get us within the veil. Some folk have misunderstood the thief's hope. He is not a man that was familiar for any length of time with, or to any great degree with, gospel truth. Remember, as far as we know, he never was in a gospel meeting, never was in a prayer meeting. And yet there in the darkness of Calvary, he found hope. Here is a man who in a moment of time went from prison to paradise, from darkness to light. He hadn't the same privilege as you have had. Whatever you may think of the preaching in this church, there's one thing that is absolutely sure. We preach the gospel and preach Christ as the remedy for sinners' need. And you are no stranger to the gospel. You have heard the gospel again and again and again. And tonight, you know your need. You are familiar with the fact that you're a sinner by nature and a sinner by practice, and in need of the saving mercy and the saving grace and the saving power of God. Oh, that tonight you would come and put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's sometimes very hard to understand that this man in the darkness of Calvary, in his darkness, came to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, came to the glorious truth and light of the gospel. And yet, men and women who are familiar with the gospel and with the message of the saving mercy and the saving grace of God continue on in the darkness of their sin. Very hard to understand. The Lord Jesus Christ, on one occasion, in John's Gospel, chapter 5, was speaking to a number of the Jews to whom he had often spoken. And he had often invited them to come and follow him and be his children. But they refused to come. He said there in John 5:40, "Ye will not come to me that ye might have life." They refused to come. In spite of the invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ to come and be saved, to come and trust him, they refused to come. And he said, "Ye will not come to me that ye might have life." Why will you not come tonight? Why will you not come and put your faith and your trust in Christ and be saved by the grace of God? I want you to notice, secondly, the ground of this man's hope was in the Savior he saw. There in verses 32 to 35, we find that when this man was brought to Calvary, and maybe this has been overlooked because the concentration is always on the Savior, the way of sorrows, when these men were being led to Calvary, they were in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were in the company of the Savior. Remember that they were led with him to Calvary. They were in his company, in his presence. He was the Savior they saw. One looked by faith and the other looked just by sight. One was saved and the other was lost. But they were in the Lord's company. Listen, tonight, right now in this meeting, you are in the Lord's presence. He's here. He has promised, he has covenanted to be here. He said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18 and verse 20, "Where the two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst." And he's here tonight. Oh, see him by faith. See him by faith. He's here. He's here. He has promised to be here. And bless God, he is here. Yes, the Savior he saw. But then there was also the sermon he heard. He listened to what the Lord Jesus Christ had to say as they were making their way up Calvary's Hill there, and in the verses 28 to 30, you will find that the Lord Jesus spoke about the judgment of God that was coming. And this man heard that the judgment of God was coming. Then shall he begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. The day of God's great judgment. And he heard of the judgment of God, and he recognized and he realized it was coming. And you and I know that the judgment is coming. You've heard it preached again and again. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, it says, it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Men and women, the judgment is coming. There in the Acts of the Apostles, we're told that the judgment is coming. In the book of the Acts, in the chapter 17 and in the verse 31, Paul is preaching there, and in verse 30 he says, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he has raised him from the dead. And men and women and young people, I tell you tonight, that as sure as Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, the judgment of God is coming. It's coming. And you need to prepare to meet your God, because the judgment is coming. And this man heard that the judgment was coming, but he heard something else. He heard of the salvation of Christ. Because there in verse 35, you'll notice that some of the crowd around the cross, oh, they said it mockingly, but the Spirit of God applied it with power to this man's heart. He saved others. Let him save himself. Oh, he heard that this man had saved others. And he recognized in his own heart that if he had saved others, he could save him. And oh, you have seen others saved. You have heard of others being saved. And you've seen this, the change and the transformation that there has been in their lives as they have come to Christ and been wonderfully and gloriously saved. And this man heard the message of salvation. He saved others. And then there was the superscription he saw. The sermon he heard, the superscription he saw. This is the King of the Jews. It was written in Hebrew, in Greek, and Latin. And every single person about the cross that day could read it. This is the King of the Jews. And when this man read that superscription, and he considered the judgment that was to come and the salvation that was offered. He realized that that man on the middle cross was the King of Glory, the Savior of sinners. And he wanted to be a part of his kingdom. He wanted to be a part of his kingdom. And he trusted Christ. Trusted Christ. He turned to Christ. And he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the Lord Jesus turned to him and he said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Yes. That was the ground of this man's hope. It was the Savior he saw, the sermon he heard. And the superscription he read. All linked together brought him to cry to God for mercy and salvation. And he was wonderfully saved. I want you to see finally and quickly the greatness of this man's hope. The greatness of this man's hope. The thief said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. That word, Lord, is a great word. It's a great word. It's a word we're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 3. It says, no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost's at work here. It was the Holy Ghost that caused this man to realize and recognize that that man on the middle cross was the Lord of glory, the sinner's Savior. And he cried, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You see, the Bible tells us in John 6 and 44, no man can come except the Father draw him. And the Holy Ghost has been sent by the Father to draw men and women to Christ, that they might be saved. And the Holy Ghost was drawing this man to Christ. And he was wonderfully and gloriously saved. He wanted to be a part of Christ's kingdom. That is the greatness of this man's hope. God's kingdom. Yes. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. What about you tonight? What about you? You're not saved. It's you in particular I'm speaking to. Will you call on the Lord tonight? Will you turn to him and ask him to have mercy upon you and save you by his wonderful grace? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10 and 13. Do Do you know the reason you're not saved tonight? It's because you've never called on the Lord to have mercy upon you and save you by his wonderful, wonderful grace. Oh, come tonight and cry to Christ to have mercy upon you and to save you by his wonderful, wonderful grace. Thank God tonight, there's a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. Yes. Will you plunge tonight by faith and be saved by God's wonderful, wonderful grace? You'll notice the steps to this man's conversion. You'll see how he rebuked the other. In verse 39, the other malefactor on the other side, he was deriding Christ. He was railing on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But you'll notice the other answered and rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God?" The fear of God had gripped this man's heart. He was dying, and he was dying in his sin, and the fear of God had gripped him. He said, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds." He recognizes that he's on that cross because of what he has done. Because of the sin that he has committed, it has led him to that cross. And he recognizes that he deserves it. "We deserve it," he says. "But this man has done nothing amiss. This is the sinless, spotless King of glory, the Savior of sinners." And he cries, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." This man's confession was a personal confession. It was also a public confession because there was a multitude round the cross who heard him utter those words. But he cried, "Lord, remember me." He wasn't worried about the multitude. The only care he had was that he might become a part of Christ's kingdom. "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." That's the glory of this man's hope. He wants to be a part of God's kingdom. And he cries, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." He's in earnest. He's in earnest. There's no doubt about that. And immediately, he receives the assurance. Jesus looked, and he said to him, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." He had the absolute assurance he was going to be with Christ. And I tell you tonight, the moment that you put your faith and your trust in Christ, he'll save you. And you can be absolutely sure you're saved and going to heaven For God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's no doubt about it. This man is going to heaven. He's going to paradise. He's going to be with Christ. He's going to the glories and splendors of heaven. It says in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things that God hath provided for them that love him. Oh, we can't describe heaven, try as we might. But glory to God, this man was going home to be with Christ in the splendors of heaven. Thank God tonight every soul in this meeting that's saved is going home to glory soon, to see the city bright and to bask in God's own heavenly light. But listen, man, listen, woman, young person, if you're not saved tonight, you're not going. You're not going. But you can seek the Lord tonight. Earnestly seek him as your Savior and Lord and Redeemer. And be wonderfully and gloriously saved by the mighty grace and power of God. Oh, I invite you to come tonight. I urge you to come. Come and seek the Lord while he may be found. Come and call upon him while he's near. Don't turn your back upon him and leave the meeting without him. Come and be saved. Come in the words of Charlotte Elliott's old hymn. I've said this before. I've probably said it in this pulpit. I've said it again and again because it's true. And it's the only way to be saved, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God. I come. I come. Are you coming? Are you in earnest? It goes on in the second verse to say, just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot. O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Are you coming? Come now. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. It's not tomorrow. God never deals with tomorrow. He deals with today. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Come and be saved. Come now. Come and trust him. Come and be saved.